Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Bava Matzia Daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, right at the last word, Tarshma. Once again, we're going to try to prove that although we are typically concerned about animals in distress, Tzar Bala Chaim plays a prominent role in our attitude towards animals. However, as important as it is only midrabbanan. It is a rabbinic directive rather than being sourced in the Torah. And we're going to prove that once again, that Tzar Bala Chaim is not minat Torah. Toshma, Reivitz. The pasuk, in describing the animal crouched beneath its load, collapsing beneath its load, and instructing us to go help the owner unload the animal, uses the word reivitz, and we learn it's a one-time, you know, event, v'loy ravitzon, as opposed to an animal who habitually just drops under his load, and just an attitudinal animal. So in that case, you're not obligated to come to the rescue. The owner, you know, should have known better. It's just not a thing that obligates me to come offer a hand. Okay, so if it happened, it's an happenance, it's a mikra, Rashi says, go ahead and help him. Roivitz v'lei ravtzon, as opposed to something which happens on a regular basis with this animal. Furthermore, roivitz means v'lei oimed. He's crouched, he drops to the floor, but as opposed to the animal who's in a standing position. In that case, you don't have to help him unload. It's not so desperate, it's not so critical. Furthermore, tachas maso'oi, beneath his load. V'lei mefurek, as opposed to a case where the load has already been unloaded. And the owner requires help uploading the load. In that case, you don't have to step in. And the Gemara later will ask, well, of course, there's a mitzvah of uploading as well, right? Hakim takim imay, we'll deal with that in a minute. And furthermore, tachas maso'oi means it's a load which matches the animal's capacity, as opposed to a fellow who overloaded his animal. That's absolute negligence, right? Masri shiyachal amid boy, a load which is within the capacity of the animal. Okay, that's the price. The guidelines of when one is required to step in and help. Now the question is, who's our primary concern here? Who's the focus on? The owner, who in these cases perhaps was negligent, or the animal who's suffering? The animal's in distress, v'yamras, right? Tzar Bala Chaim deraisif. Tzar Bala Chaim is a deraisif concern. Mali reivitz, mali ravtzar, mali oimed. Who cares if it's a habitual thing, happens on a regular basis, or he's standing, or he's sitting. He's in distress. Apparently, Tzar Bala Chaim is not minat Torah. Answers the Gemara, you're right. This price truly reflects an opinion, which holds Tzar Bala Chaim is midrabbanan, but we already had yesterday, that Rabbi Saglili in fact holds that Tzar Bala Chaim is not deraisa. Hamani, Rabbi Saglili, the Amar who says actually Tzar Bala Chaim is only the Rabbanon. However, the other opinions, the Rabbanon, the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, they'll all hold perhaps that Tzar Bala Chaim is deraisa. Hachanam Bistavra, I'll in fact prove that what? That this Bryce reflects Rabbi Saglili's opinion only. Because what does the Bryce say? Load to capacity, right? Tektoni tachas maso'oi. Maso'i shiyochal amid boi. Right? It cannot have exceeded the animal's, you know, load capacity. Now, who's the one that says such a halacha? Man shamas le disli hasfar. Who authors this opinion, right? That's Rabbi Saglili, as per our Mishnah, right? Shmamina, so clearly this brice, which contains this halacha of Rabbi Saglili, in fact reflects his sheet. But the other opinions perhaps disagree. But how could you say that this price reflects only Rabbi Saglili's shita and not the other shitas like Rabbi Shimon? The price continues, tachas maso oy v'le mefurak. He's beneath his load as opposed to where the load is already on the floor. What does that mean? My loy mefurak. What does that mean? Ilayim loy mefurak klal. You don't have to step in. You don't have to offer a hand. If the load is sitting on the floor waiting to be uploaded. Really? Haksiv hakim takim imay. The Torah stipulates that he meant to go give him a hand to upload his load. El abshita, rather. Clearly the b'risa means like this. Loy mefurak b'chinam el b'schar. If the animal's collapsing beneath its heavy load, then you have a mitzvah to jump in and offer your services for free. But if it's mefurak, where the load is down below and waiting to be uploaded, for a te'ina you can charge. Ela b'schar. Now, man shamasle di isle ha'svara. Rabbanim, who's the opinion that makes this distinction between uploading and downloading? That you can charge for uploading. That's Rabbanim. That's Rav Shimon's Shita, right? And not Rabbi Seglili. So how can you tell me this price, which contains this halacha, is Rabbi Seglili? Lo ein Rabbi Seglili. He says, well, no. Surely this price is Rabbi Seglili. And Tzar Baal Chaim is the Rabbanim. Ubeti'ina. And actually, when it comes to the halacha of uploading, can you charge? Yeah. Savala Karabbanim. In this instance, Rabbi Yesi coincides with the Rabbanim, which is Rabbi Shimon Shita, that you can charge for it. So, yeah, he can hold, on the one hand, Tzar Baal Chaim is the Rabbanim, but he can also hold like Rabbi Shimon on the other account. Tana Rabbanim, Kisira, you notice the other fellow's donkey, Roivetz Tachas Masoi, having a hard time beneath its load, right? Go over there and help him out. Kisira, perhaps, even at a distance, you're obligated to go drive over there at a distance and go help him out. Yochal Filim Rochek. Tamar Levin, no, that's unfair. Kisifka, it has to be a close encounter. But if you see him a mile away, you're not obligated to go. Ikisifka. Now, if we're going to focus on Kisifka, Yochal Pkia Mamish, perhaps it means literally, physically encountering, bumping into him, like really close by. Only then are you chayiv? Really? Tamar Levin, Kisira. That's where the other pasuk comes in. Kisira, you notice it. Right? So what does that mean? You notice it from a relatively close proximity, right? So sort of a compromise. Not bumping into him, not from afar, but, somewhere close by. So what constitutes, at what distance is this re'iyah, this noticing, considered pegia, an encounter? You take a mil, which is roughly like a mile, and you split it into 7.5 parts. That's the wrist that we speak about many times. So, that's how close you have to be chayiv. Tana, we're going to the right. So, medad imay parsa. Even after you load him up, you can't just abandon him. Maybe it's going to happen again. So, you got to accompany him. You have to walk along a parsa, which is really far, to ensure that things are safe and sound. Amarabba rachana, but for this part, you can get paid. Menetel schar, you can get paid for your time. So, in terms of actually uploading or downloading, that's questionable, right? Downloading, you can't get paid for uploading, that's a machlekes. But all agree that when it comes to keeping him company, that you can get paid for. Continues the mission. Avedosai, vavedos aviv. A fellow encounters two lost items, meaning he himself lost an item, which he's on his way to retrieve, right? He's trying to retrieve his item, and he knows that his father lost the item as well, and he can retrieve that too. So which one takes priority? If it's a question of one over the other. Avidosa kedemis. First you tend to your own lost item, and then your father's. Avidosa vedes raboy. Likewise, a choice between your own and your Rebbe. Shalai kedem. Once again, yours is priority. What if it's between father and Rebbe? Avidas aviv, vavidas raboy. Which one takes priority? Your father's item or your Rebbe's lost item? Shall Rabbi Kedem? It's first you tend to the Rebbe. You know why? Because he provided you with spiritual sustenance. True, your father brought you down to this world, but the Rebbe taught him Torah, boy brings into eternal life. So that comes first. If his father was a chacham and presumably taught him Torah as well. So in this case, father takes priority because father has both elements, kibud avim, and also he's like your Rebbe, right? Shel aviv kedemes. Okay. Likewise, when it comes to other choices that you have to make, let's say haya aviv v'rabbi, right? Noisin masoi. You notice father and your teacher carrying a load and having a hard time. Which one comes first? Maniach shel rabbi, first you go help your Rebbe unload, v'chakach, and only then maniach shel aviv, then comes father. And finally, haya aviv v'rabbi beis hashevi. Let's say father and Rebbe are both taken captive. and you're going to try to redeem, but which one takes priority? Poydes, Rabbi first, Rabbi, v'chakach, poydes, Ovid, then father. Once again, v'mhoyav chacham, then father jumps to the top of the chart, poydes, Aviv, and then v'chakach, poydes, Rabbi. But not immediately. Let's go back to the first halach. Choice between your own and your father's aveda. First, you take care of your own. Why? What happened to kibud avayim? Amar vidam arav, amar kroah, the pasuk says, our first responsibility is to our own financial health. Efes, kiloyibcha evyon, you meant to ensure that there's no poverty amongst yourselves. Shachakayim, shachaladim. First comes your own financial interests. First you tend to your own items, and then, only then, to others. V'amar avidam arav kalam kaim ba'atzmeis. Although, strictly speaking, halachically speaking, your own takes priority, but, as Rashi explains, one is meant to go beyond the letter of the law, lefnimishur sadin, and not meant to be particular, and choose his own over the next person's, unless, you know, there is an absolute, loss, some add the word hefsed meruva, major loss, but otherwise a person shouldn't be so, take things, look after his own interests only. He should forego that and take care of his friend's thing as well, even if it's going to relegate his own aveda to second place. Rashi says, "Imloy behefsed mechiach," unless it's an absolute loss here. But bottom line is, first look after your friend's thing, do chesed, and then afterwards, hopefully, you'll find yours as well. And kalam kaim ba'atzmi kach. In fact, if a person is very makbid in particular, he first takes care of his own stuff, and then, right, he's not involved in he's not living a generous, giving life, right? Rashi says he's perik ma'olav oil gemilas chasadim with staka. He's not involved in giving and being generous. Soif, what's the end result? Then he himself will have to come onto other people's handouts. Unbelievable. Soif bol de kach. Right? So point is, a person acts generously and graciously, then Hashem likewise, measure for measure, Mida will act with him likewise, give him bracha v'atzlacha and all his endeavors. Amen. Okay. Hay Avi v'Rabbi Nosin Masi. Turn it up on. We speak about pitting the father against the Rebbe. What type of Rebbe are we speaking? Turn it up on Rabbi Sha'amru, when we speak about the teacher taking priority, Rabbi Shalim Dechachma. We're speaking about a Rebbe specifically who taught him Chachma. Rashi says it means like Gemara. Opened up his mind to the depth, deeper analysis of the Chumash, of the Mishnayos, which we call Gemara. The deeper understanding of Torah. That's the Rebbe that we're speaking about. According to our mayor, it's referring to a Rebbe specifically who taught him Gemara, as opposed to the Rebbe who taught him Chumash or Mishnayos. Rabbi Daimi, he disagrees. It's about what you are. If you're a fellow who's into Chumash, so wherever you learn most of that Chumash, right, it's personal. Kol sh'reiv chachma seimenu. The fellow, the Rabbi who taught you most of what you know, whether it's Chumash or whether it's Mishnah, it doesn't matter. Most of your knowledge came from him, he's your Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi Omer has a chiddush. Even a less extensive Rabbi is also considered. Afilo lo'yeir einav el v'mishnah achas. Zeu Rabbi, even a person who enlightened you to the true meaning of even one Mishnah, he gets the status of a Rebbe. I'm a Rav Kigain, for instance, Rav Schera. Rav Schera taught me one thing, the Asbron Zuam Alistron. We had a Mishnah in Pesachas Kelim, which discussed some sort of item called Zuam Alistron. I was stumped, and he came and explained it to me. It's like this mixing spoon or whatever. So he's my Rebbe because of that. Shmuel Kara Mane. Shmuel Torah's Begadim. He did Kriya, a very extensive kriya like you do on your Rebbe, Aleihu Rabbanan, because of this certain chacham that passed away, the Asbury, because he taught him one Mishnah, a Mishnah in Talmud describing the service doors going into the Heichal. So you have Echad Yared Amas HaShechi, Echad Beseach Kivan, the first door you have to sort of wiggle your hand in there, and the second one, once you open that one, the second one is right there, Kivan, directly in front of you. So these are words which he wasn't sure of their meaning, and he came and explained to him exactly what went where, and he considered him the Rebbe because of that. Here comes a chiddush, Amar Ula. Talmid HaChamish beBavel. In Bavel, they tended to learn together like a koil, so all the Chachamim who learned together in the Beis Medrash are considered like teachers to each other, because ultimately they all explain things to each other and they sort of share their knowledge. And therefore, Omdim They stand up for each other. They tear their begadim if one of them passes away. But when it comes to our Mishnah, prioritizing regarding Hashavas Aveda, right, B'makim Aviv, when it's a question of the Rebbe or the father, there you need a real solid Rebbe. Einon Chayzrin El Rabbi Muvak. There, you don't prefer the Aveda of this Kollel colleague, unless he's really a Rabbi Muvak, an absolute Rebbe, as we explained before. So to a certain extent, you have to treat your colleagues with respect, like they are your teachers, but up to a point. Kabay Mirei Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda had a question, Mirei Rav Huna, from his Rebbe Rav Huna. Talmud v'tzorach le'Rabbi Mai. Rav Chizda was a Talmud of Rav Huna. He says, look, sometimes you have a Talmud who's very well-versed. He's a Baki, and the Rebbe sometimes needs the Talmud's services to provide him with some information that he's unsure of. So Mai, what is the Talmud's status in this case? Is he like considered like the Rebbe of the Rebbe because in a way he teaches the Rebbe too? Amarle, so Rav Chizda, Rav Huna, he thought that Rav Chizda was alluding to himself as a Talmud of Rav Huna. Rav Huna really needs him. Amarle, and he responded a little bit harshly, Chizda, let's rechen lach, I don't need you. Atzri chesli, in fact, you need to come to, you need to accept from me, you need to be makabel from me. I'm your absolute teacher, and not the other way around. And this created a sort of like a little bit of a uncomfortable situation. Ad arboin shnin. So one second. So he finished by saying, "Look, until you're 40 years of learning, 4 years old, then you have to come out to my information, to my teachings." And Gemara elsewhere says that once a person hits 40, he's already sort of has that independence. He's not so dependent on the Rebbe. Bottom line is, you're still my Talmid, and it's that way, not the other way around. Ikpidi adodi. So they both were makbid on each other because of this exchange. They didn't visit each other for some time. And in order to reconcile, Yasser Rav Chizda are born Tanisa. Rav Chizda conducted 40 fast days because he made Rav Huna feel bad, unintentionally. Yasser Rav Huna are born Tanisa. And like Rav Huna, the Rebbe fasted for 40 days because he sort of suspected. It was ungrounded, unfounded, but he thought that Rav Chizda meant himself, and therefore he felt bad for regarding his response. So he passed it as well to atone for that. So what constitutes a Rebbe? We have Rav Meir says the one who taught him Gemara. Rav Yehuda says the source of most of your knowledge, and Rav Yaisi says even a Rebbe who enlightened you with some information that qualifies. How do we paskin? Itmar, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, that what? Halach Rabbi Yehuda. It's about your information, most of your information. Rav Acha bar Avuna, Rav Sheish, Halach Rabbi Yosef. But even if he taught him just something very small, it qualifies. Asks the Gemara, Umi Om Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, how could he quote Rabbi Yochanan? We follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that it's all about the way you learned most of your knowledge, whether it's Chumash or Mishnayos. But Rabbi Yechon himself tells us, Halacha Kista Mishnah, typically we rule like an anonymous Mishnah. And what does our Mishnah say to none? What is it, Rabbi? Rabbi Shalom de Chachma. The one who taught you Chachma. Chachma, as we understand, is Gemara, which is Rameh's Shita. My Chachma re Chachmasa. No, Chachma doesn't necessarily mean a deeper analysis of the Gemara. It means most of your knowledge. So if you're a Mishnah expert, he taught you most of your Mishnahs, you regard him as your Rebbe. Okay, once we're on the topic of Chumash, Mishnahs, and Gemara, says the Brisa Tanu Rabban, Ha'iskin b'mikra. Those who are heavily involved in Chumash, Mida ve'eda Mida. Person who's learning Chumash, it's a Mida Taiva, it's a good thing, but it's not fully a Mida Taiva, meaning, because, as Rashi explains, Mishnayos and Gemara were in a way higher priority because, he says in those days, they didn't record the Mishnayos and the Gemara. So unless people learn them regularly, it's going to be forgotten. So it's more important to dwell on Mishnayos and Gemara. When a person learns b'mishnah, he dwells on Mishnayos, midah, it's a good thing, it's a good measure. And he gets schar for it, meaning there's some sort of deeper understanding through the Mishnayos, but it doesn't match up to Gemara. Gemara is the ultimate. That's the best way to learn. It gives you the true understanding of what the Chumash and Mishnahs had in mind. But listen to this. But don't abandon the Mishnahs. Always run to the Mishnahs. Even more than Gemara, which seems to be a contradiction, right? First you say, Amras, but Gemara, Enocha Mida Gedoyla Mizu. Gemara is the best. Then you go back and say, you extol the virtues of Mishnahs. Even more than Gemara. What's going on? Amrav Yechna. These statements reflect different eras in our history. This brisa was presented in the days of Rebbe. Okay, now very, very fundamental Rashi here. Perhaps it's worthwhile to really go through it, inside. So the Rashi is on top here on the left side. May Rebbe Nishnis Mishnezu. Rashi gives us a whole, background. We always wonder how there could be disputes in the Gemara, right? How could there be misunderstandings, difference of opinion? It's all coming from Hashem. Listen to this Rashi, and then we'll go back to the Gemara. Hadik Tani Gemara Ein Chamidik Del Mizu. So the first statement, the Gemara is the best. That was reflective of a very specific, event in history. When there was an increase in the students of Shammai v'Hillel, who lived three generations before Rabbi, Rabu machlekes b'Torah, v'nasas k'shtei Torahs. That triggered many disputes and many misunderstandings, many differences of opinion. Why? It wasn't because they were trying to metoich oil shibud malchis. V'gzeres shayu geizr aleim metoich kach loy hayicholim lasis lev levardi v'achalkam. Beautiful. The whole concept of machlekes was triggered by the hardships, the troubles, the tragedies, the galuyos, the decrees that Klal Yisrael endured and experienced, which makes it very difficult to focus and to dwell and to have clarity. So although everything was clearly handed down by Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., but ultimately there was confusion due to the circumstances, various tumultuous circumstances. So that was the time of Talmid Hillel v'Shammai, and that's how we have all those machlekes throughout Mishnayos. Bishamai say this, Bishol say that. And this carried on until the days of Rebbe. For three generations, Ad Yom Shel Rebbe, when things calmed down a bit. Shanas Nakadosh Baruch Hu Leichein, Beine Antoninus Melech Roimi, he was on good terms with Antoninus, the Roman king, Aminu Avodah Zarah, right? As we learned in Avodah Zarah, he was friendly with him. Venachum with Zarah, and things subsided. The trouble subsided. And Rebbe seized the opportunity. This was a wonderful opportunity to go and organize the Torah. V'shalach v'kibitz kol tamid eretz Yisrael. In contrast to what we think that Rebbe himself sat down. No, it wasn't a personal project. He went and summoned together, he gathered all the tamidim in eretz Yisrael. V'ad yomav, now until his time, l'yehayu mesechtes seduris. We didn't have organized mesechtes. Rather, it was sort of, random. El kol talmud sheshama davar pigod l'himenu. Whenever a talmud would hear something from a Rebbe, whatever gersa, he would learn it. V'nosen simonin. And he would give like simanim, ways to remember halacha plenius or plenius shamadim shem pleni, right? Ukshem iskaptz omar kolechad mashe shama, right? But now that they're all sitting together, each one presented what he knew from his sources, and they made sort of a compilation. V'nosnu leiv levarer tamei machlekes the remiru in the kaim. Now they were presented with many conflicting opinions too, and now they had to sort of sort it out. And by this sort of convention, they were able to have all the chachamim sitting there, who had the ability and the authority to verify, to analyze it, to verify it, to conclude which shita, which opinion is the rightful one, which one they're going to accept and go with. V'sidra mesechtos devar nizikim levadam, v'devar yivamis levadam, v'devar kachim levadam. We have all these mesechtos and these storim like we have today. And not only that, there's a concept called stam mishnah. V'sosam nami v'mishnah devar yechidim, shera'a rebi as devar mishonon stam, k'dei l'kbar l'chol kemoisim. At times, Rebbe and the Talmidim there, the Chachamim, decided to go with a certain opinion, and instead of mentioning his name, they were just soysen. They sort of quoted the opinion without the source, and this is becomes the absolute fact, this is the halacha, this way, there's no questions asked. Okay, so this is the background. And that explains our brisa, why we place such a high priority on Gemara, because that was the call of the day, so to speak. Because at that point they were trying to analyze, clarify, right? All the Mishnahs. So Rebbe was promoting Gemara at that time. Gemara means the analysis, the deeper analysis of the Mishnayos. Lefichach amru b'gemara einu chamidu gedolah mezu sheyitnu leil tamei ha-mishnah. Rabbi was promoting Gemara, not the organized Gemara like we have today. That was the next level. That was Ravina Ravashi's project. But basically, the concept of the Gemara, which means to analyze and to verify and to clarify the halachas of the Mishnayos, that was very much promoted by Rebbe, and that's hence the Braiser promoting Gemara as well. But you know what happened? People took a liking to Gemara. Shavku says the Gemara on top. Okay, let's go back to the top line. B'mei Rebbe Nishnas Mishnazu. So in time of Rebbe, this concept of promoting Gemara was expounded on, and it brought everybody to Gemara, but the emphasis became so strong on Gemara that Shavku Kula Alma, they all abandoned Masnis and the Mishnayos. V'ozal was the Gemara, they got involved in Gemara, which poses a danger too, as Rashi explains, because now the Mishnayos can be forgotten if nobody is immersed into it. So Rebbe came back and says, oh, hold it, this went a little too far. Hada Darash Luhus, he came around and he told them, as important as Gemara is, but don't abandon the Mishnayos. In fact, at this point, Mishnah is more important because we have to maintain the Mishnayos lest it be forgotten. So this is pretty much like the concept of the split Siddurim that we have in the yeshivas today in the Kailim. One Seder for Ian, one Seder for Bekias. One is to get sort of the background information on a more of a quick, breezy style. And then there's the Ian analyzing and delving into the sources and the deeper understanding. Okay, my Drosh. Now initially, when Rebbe promoted Gemara, what was it based on? How do we know that's more important? What does the pasuk mean? So we have Ami, my nation, tell them their sins, and my Obeis Yaakov, a different way of referring to Klal Yisrael, chatasam, they're mistakes, right? Pesha is on purpose, and chatas is by mistake. Now, what does this mean? And this will highlight the importance of focused and concentrated learning, which we call Gemara. Hagid la'ami pishim, inform my nation, my dear ones, my tamid ha-chachamim, their shortcomings. Elu tamid ha-chachamim sheshkagais. So even if they're mistake, they do things wrong, but it's a shagig, but you know what? We hold them accountable for it as though it was negligence, because they should have learned better. When they learned the halacha, they should have paid more attention. So it's not much of an excuse. Naslam kizdoines. Those who have the ability to learn better, they should have done so. So even when it turns out to be a shogeg, but we hold them accountable as though it was bemezid, because they were misinformed due to their lack of immersion into the Torah. So we see Gemara is very important. And Beis Yaakov chatasim, informed Beis Yaakov of their wrongdoings, but here it's less severe, it's just a chet. Elo ami aretz, those are those who don't have the ability to learn. Shez doines, naslam kishkogos, even if they do something, you know, bemezid, but since it's due to a lack of knowledge, Hashem downgrades it to a shogeg. Vayinu desnan, and this fits well with the Mishnah in Pirkei Aveis, that one should pay close attention to his learning. Rabbi Da'imer, have yizar b'talmud, pay close attention to when you learn. Sheshigigas talmud, you make a mistake in your learning. Oyla zaden, even if it's just a mistake and it leads you to making a mistake in your day-to-day life, but it's considered like a mezid because it's your fault, you should have been more involved in your Gemara, in your Halacha, and you should have informed yourself properly. Okay, on this topic of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, we have another pasuk. Darash Abida Rulei. Ma'idachsev, what does the pasuk mean? Shimud var Hashem, achareit maldvarai. Elo tovid hacham, it's going on those that are chachamim, that are immersed in Torah. And what does the next part of the pasuk mean? Imru achechem. I'll just read the whole pasuk first. So the pasuk reads like this. It's in pasuk in Yeshaya. Shimud var Hashem, achareit maldvarai. Imru, omru. Achechem son echem, ma'adechem, l'man shmi yichbad Hashem v'nira b'simchas ha'mem yivayshu. So there's an interesting drush on this pasuk. It's reflective of the various classes in Klal Yisrael. So achareid v'advari al yitamid ha'chamim. Listen up, okay? Imru achechem, omru achechem. Your brothers have said the following. Elu b'al mikra. What does that mean? Amru achechem. Elu b'al mikra. Those who immerse themselves in the chumash. They don't know the dinim. They don't know the halachas. So So they're being referenced here, right? Some they're saying something. Let's go a little further. So an eichem elu bali mishnah. Those who adopted mishnayos into mishnayos rather than gemara, they're called sein eichem. They dislike the chachamim who are learning gemara. So it seems like the bali mikra as well. Why? Because they have this perception that the bali gemara, those that are into gemara, the talmid chachamim, look down at them. Because, you know, you're misinformed. You're only learning Mishnah, you know, Chumash and Gemara. So, these people dislike the Talmid Chacham and the Bali Gemara because they perceive themselves as having a negative, you know, as being inferior in the eyes of the Gemara people. Okay, so there's this sort of constant tension between these groups. Elu Bali Mishnah Menadeichem. Menadeichem is lashon nida, distancing, right? Elu bali ame'aretz, the ame'aretz, the unlearned people, very much dislike the chachamim. Once again, they perceive that the talmid chachamim look down at them, which obviously is not true, but that's their attitude. So, bottom line, we have many classes amongst our nation with different attitudes towards each other. So, what happens now? Ultimately, they'll all come together and benefit from each other. Shema Toimar, perhaps you'll say, Pasak Sivram, Batal Sekuyam, there's no hope, there's no, you know, nothing to, you know, to hope for. Tamad Leimar, no, V'dir B'sim Chaschem, that ultimately, we'll all experience, we'll all see the joy amongst all the classes of Klal Yisrael, Shema Toimar, Yisrael Yivayishu. Perhaps you'll say that, even though they're all joyous and sharing with each other and all that, right? But perhaps there's some busha and embarrassment on account of those that are not Talmid Chachamim, right? So again, it says, V'nir b'sim chaschem. Rashi says, V'nir means that the Navi speaking, myself and all your brethren, everybody, all the groups will join together in joy and happiness when the ultimate redemption will come. And there'll be no shame, no embarrassment. Everybody will benefit from each other and share their information, right? Shema Tami Yisrael Yivayishu, perhaps there'll be some embarrassment amongst the nation, Talmud Leima, no, Vehem Yivayishu, those, the Goyim, Oyvdi Gacham Yivayishu, they'll be embarrassed for their, you know, attitude and towards us and the way they treated us, Yisrael Yismuchu, but ultimately our nation will be full of joy and happiness. Hadron L'Chaylu Metzias. Continues the next parak. Hamafkid Eitzel Chaveru Behemai Kelim. So Reuven deposited, right, that's the topic of this parak. It's about depositing, safekeeping, right? So you gave your item to your good friend to look after. Hamakad it's a chaver. What do you give him? Behemo, a kelim, an animal, or some sort of vessel. And this fellow Shimon wasn't getting paid. Wasn't, you know, getting a fee for his services. That's called a shemer chinam, right? He's watching it free of charge. And what happened? V'nignu v'oishu avdu, got stolen or lost under his watch. Technically, Shimon can absolve himself by making a shvur. I swear, right, that I wasn't at fault, you know, I wasn't pesheya, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't use it, it was just, you know, circumstantial. He can do that. But he opted to pay for it. Interesting fellow, he went beyond the call of duty. Shilem, Lerosik, Leshav, he paid ruin for his item and refused to swear. Because in reality, he could have taken that option too. Shari Amru, because we know the Chacham tell us, Shemer Chinam, this fellow who's a Shemer Chinam, Mishravi Yoitz, all he needs to do is make a shvua and he's free, free to go. He decided to pay. He gets a perk. What does he get? Nimtza Haganav. Let's say we track down the thief. What happens then? If he's a Jewish thief, he has to pay double, right? Mishalom Kefal. Tashlim Kefal. Tabach HaMachar. If he shechted or sold the animal, the rate goes up to four or five times as much, right? Mishalom Tashlim Avar HaMishim. Who gets that extra, you know, payment? Limi Mishalom. Who does he pay it to? Lamisha Pekad Nesli. He pays it to Shimon, who is the holder of the Pekadah, because when he went ahead and he offered the owner payment beyond the letter of the law, the owner, due to his appreciation, will now grant Shimon rights to collect this extra payment should it ever come to be. However, Nishbav L'Rotz L'Shalem, suppose Shimon opted to make a shvua to exempt himself rather than pay for the item. In this case, he doesn't get that extra perk. Nimtza Haganav, Mishalom Tashlim Kefal, right? Tabach HaMachar, Mishalom Tashlim Chamisha. Who does he pay it to? Mishalom Baal Bekad, to the owner rather than to the Shimon. L'Misna, L'Misna Behemav, L'Misna Kelim. Why does the Mishnah have to cite two examples of a Pekotin, Behemoth, and Kalim? What's the point? Tzricha, each one has a Chiddush. The Yitana Behemoth, we only mention an animal. How about me now think, Behemoth, the Machlek Fela? Perhaps only there. Does the owner grant the Kefal payment privilege to the Shomer? You know why? Because he worked hard at it. He took care of my animal. Mishum the Nafish Tzricha, a lot of effort put in there. La Yulo, La Fuka, to bring it in, to bring it out. So there, I give him that Kefal. Aval Kalim. But when it comes to just a kli, which is sitting, you know, quietly, it doesn't need much care. There isn't much tircha involved. Emeloi, so perhaps, Emeloi makhlik fela, perhaps I wouldn't give him the kefal privileges. That's why the Mishnah mentions kalim as well. It applies there too. V'yitana kalim, if we only mention kalim, I mean, I would think, kalim with the makhlik fela. Perhaps it's only by the kli, which is typically, you know, a small item. There, I'm willing to give him the kefal if in fact he pays for the loss and the ganav is discovered. Because ultimately the kefal isn't much of a deal. Rashi says because it can never come to the above chamisha, it can never come to four or five times as much. So the penalty is capped as double. That's it. It doesn't get to more than that. So there, I'm willing to give it to him. But when it comes to an animal, where if it were have been stolen and then Tvicha Mechira takes place, what happens then? You pay way more. Misham Tashlum Avar Chamisha, you pay four or five times. So in that case, perhaps the owner is not willing to give that to the Shomer. Eima Loi Makn Leik Fela. Perhaps he doesn't give it to him Tzricha. That's why the Mishnah mentions both. In all situations, the same concept applies. Okay, so in summary, we learned about Tzar Bal Chaim Deraisa Derabban. We learned about prioritizing regarding Hashem HaSavedi. Your own comes first. Then the Rebbe, then the father. What constitutes a Rebbe? We have several opinions. We discussed the whole process of how the Torah sort of evolved, right? Mishnah to Mishnayis to Gemara, and the importance placed on each section of Torah. And then we concluded with the halacha of the Shomer, Chino, who paid for the loss, in which case he deserves to get the kefal, when and if the ganav is discovered. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.